It is a pleasure to be here with you, and it's good to be home in this building. I spent, as you heard, many years here. I don't want to take too long because I want to do 20 minutes. I don't want to take away from Brian's presentation. But I do want to tell you that this is the first time I've presented on this topic. I have been thinking about it for several years. And so as I present it, please, we can't have as much dialogue as I want in 20 minutes. But let's have a dialogue afterwards. I want it to be the beginning of a conversation. Because when I left GC Sabbath School and went to stewardship, of course you heard I was coordinator over the Grown Fruitful Disciples discipleship model. And so when I went into stewardship, you know, over the years people have said, well, stewardship and discipleship are the same thing. And I had to really work this out in my head. Is it really the same thing? And so coming from discipleship, thinking about stewardship, studying it, being immersed in it, I've come to the conclusion that no, they are not the same thing. However, they are very much aligned. They're very much aligned. They're two sides of the same coin. And that coin, I'll just tell you right off the bat, and we're going to unpack this, that coin is sanctification. And so what we're going to do is, in the next 20 minutes, talk about a little bit about discipleship as through the eyes of how I have viewed it through Growing Fruitful Disciples, talk a little bit about stewardship, and then what that means to us as fruitful disciples and faithful stewards. So I want to show you this first slide because I believe that discipleship is a process. It's a process, and actually you can hand out those larger sheets now if you would. Thank you. Christian discipleship is a lifelong journey of obedience to Christ. This is just one definition. We know there are many more. And I would say in here, a lifelong journey of faith-filled obedience to Christ that spiritually transforms a person's values and behavior and results in ministry in one's own home church in the world. And I think we could agree on that, that becoming a disciple, a follower of Christ, I mean, we have a new object of worship, a person, and so it does transform. But I want to show you the next slide. Okay, practice. Christian stewardship is a lifelong journey of faithful obedience to Christ. And you read the same definition and you see how these two align, how really they're not exactly the same. One is a process we'll talk about, and one is, okay, practicing. Okay, now that Christ has given us a new life as a follower of Christ, how do we practice that new life? How do we manage that new life? As we know, a steward is a manager. So that's what I want us to unpack today, because as we know, I talked about, I believe these are two sides of the same coin, sanctification, and someone just said it a minute ago, I can't remember who. Sanctification is the work of what?
A lifetime.
And I truly believe that both of these aspects of the Christian life are important and essential to what it means. So just to start out, I want us to look at the sheet I just gave you, because this is the sheet from Growing Fruitful Disciples, the model of discipleship that I was privileged to be a part of from the beginning, developing that. And just for a quick history, let me get my notes here. I can remember most of them by heart, but in 2005, the General Conference, just to tell you how far this goes back, Mike Ryan, they talked about nurture and retention as we're doing now. And so from that, Disciples Alive was created, yet as that went along, it was transformed into Growing Fruitful Disciples. And so that was headed by Ron Flowers, if many of you remember Ron Flowers, and a committee, myself and a couple others. We were part of the executive team to oversee that. And so this was developed in partnership with Andrews University. And I don't know if many of you know, but it wasn't until we went through this process of saying, okay, what you see in your hand is not a checklist of what it means to be a disciple, this is our attempt to say, you know, when God calls us to be a disciple, it's a process. As you see there, it's connecting with God's self and others. It's understanding Jesus and his teaching, serving, all of that undergirded by being in a family of believers. And so this was an attempt to say that doesn't just happen. As we know, that's why we're here, nurture and retention. We see our members and who, how many we're losing. We're saying this is not something that just happens by osmosis. This is something we need to be intentional about, and that's what this tool is all about. So it was developed in partnership with Andrews. Actually, this was the precursor to their creating a department at the seminary called Discipleship and Religious Education. That came out of this whole process of trying to decide, okay, doing biblical study together, studying and just, you know, how the Holy Spirit was leading us. So I want to share this with you as this first side of this coin, because I think we all realize discipleship, following Jesus, is the work of a lifetime. But it is a process, and this was created to help leaders, to help you, to help people in the field, to minister, to create resources, but also the church member, us personally, to say, okay, if I want to grow as a disciple, you know, what do I do? I mean, I remember my little church, we were in Sabbath school, and I was talking about what I do for worship in the mornings. I sit in my chair, and sometimes I sing, sometimes I just read or pray. And so I started telling some of those details, and then I said, oh, I'm sorry, you know, TMI, too much information. And this one woman piped up and said, no, I have no idea what to do. When you say devotions, I have no idea. And so it made me realize what we take for granted, there are people that have no clue. And so as we walk alongside with them, something like this helps guide them. And I'll show you at the end here, I don't want to interrupt the presentation right now, but there's a website, Growing Fruitful Disciples, that has this, what we call a framework, as well as a spiritual growth inventory, where you can go online, it's a free account, but you answer questions and it pops up with a pie chart. I don't know if you've done that, but it shows you areas that you might need to grow in. I mean, I know the area I need to grow in. And so, you know, I talk to my friend who's really strong in this area, saying, how can you help me grow in this area? So that's the first half of this coin, what it means to be a disciple, what it means to follow Christ. And the second half, well, before I go on, let me just say, these were some of the questions as we were going through this process. And I still think there are questions we have to consider. How do we bring the church together in this work of discipleship? This was part of our intention through this whole process here at the General Conference, through departments, but also helping the world church and church members have a common understanding of what it means to be a disciple. How can we use this tool to equip our leaders and discipling members, and how the member can use it? So I'm not going to unpack those, because my purpose here is not to pursue at that depth, like I said, in 20 minutes, this tool, but just to give you an idea of some of the things we wrestled with, and hopefully those here working in discipleship at the General Conference are continuing to wrestle with, because we need to be intentional about helping our church members for themselves and walking alongside each other in discipling. But here's the other thing, stewardship. There are three things about stewardship I want to share with you quickly, and I call them the three R's of stewardship, just so you have an understanding of how I'm going to tie this in with discipleship. Stewardship, we were born to be stewards. We were born to be stewards. God was ruler over everything, but we were the leaders of the free world. But what happened? Call it the reversal. Whereas in the beginning, God created everything, owned everything. He gave us the privilege of being managers of the garden, of animals, of each other, having self-control. The great reversal came when we believed the lie. Now, we know the lie from the serpent, but I want to tell you what I believe is just a little bit, another angle to that lie. And that is, he made them believe they didn't have enough. You don't have enough trees to choose from. You don't have enough knowledge. You don't have enough respect from God. He's keeping from you. So what happened is when they believed they didn't have enough, they started grasping for more. And that's when the reversal came. They thought they were the rulers of the world. They thought they could control everybody else. And so that first lie made us believe we didn't have enough. And we continue to believe we don't have enough, which is unfortunate, because whether it's money, whether it's power, whether it's anything we can think of, respect, we don't have enough. And for me, a key message of stewardship is we have enough. We have enough resources. God owns them all. We just don't always manage them well. We have enough time. We have enough abilities. We just have been buying into this lie and continue to buy into this lie that we don't have enough. Even in our church, we hear it all the time. We don't have enough. And I'm not discounting that there are needs in our church. But so often, let me just tell you a quick research thing. There was a study done where the researchers tested people and said, okay, how much more money would you need until you felt you had enough? And they said, a little bit more. Well, actually, in this study, it was $10,000. So they followed these people. They came back to them. That many of them had gotten raises. They'd gotten promotions, switched jobs. Many of them had more than $10,000. And they came back and they said, okay, now you are where you are. How much more would you need to be happy? Only I had $10,000 more. You know, so we're programmed into this to think we never have enough, and that's where the grasping comes. But stewardship is a message of freedom. It's a message that we have enough. We have, and we are enough. That's another lie. Redemption. You know, once we come through this, the good news is Christ has redeemed us, and he's redeemed us, and so in this redemption, what is really cool, I don't know if you've heard of this word oikonomia. And I have to tell you the background with that. I was reading scripture one night, and I was reading 1 Timothy 1, 3, and 4. And this is in the context where Paul was talking to Timothy about don't get caught up in needless genealogies. You remember the Jewish people would just, you know, say, well, I'm 10th generation from so-and-so. And so Paul says, I want you not to get caught up in these things, but I want you to do God's work, which is by faith. Now, I was thinking at the time, okay, God's work, everybody has an idea of what God's work is. You know, it's evangelism. It's, you know, outreach. It's this or that. All good things. But what does this say? So I went to the Greek and I found the word oikonomia. How do you think that's translated? Household manager, steward, stewardship. I about fell off my chair. I thought, really, God's work in this context is stewardship? I mean, now, seriously, when you talk to people, when you say stewardship, what happens? The eyes glaze over, or else they think, oh, there they go again. In my early 20s, I heard people, you know, give the most guilt-inducing tithes and offerings appeals, and I would get angry, and I thought that was stewardship. And if you told me years later I'd be in stewardship, I'd say, you're wacko. And so, you know, it's this idea of God's work is stewardship. It's managing his household. And, of course, that's there are many aspects to that, and we don't have time to go through all the texts, but I put them there. If you want to take a picture of looking through how we're stewards of God's time, stewards of God's resources, you know, and in stewardship, we do talk a lot about financial stewardship, because I believe there's a huge divide between our faith and our finances. And it's not that God needs the money, and it's not that we're trying to fleece the flock. It's that giving is part of God's character. And when we are generous, we are reflecting God, which we'll touch on more. And so also from this redemption is reinstatement. And this is where we believe, you know, when God has reinstated us as stewards, he's reinstated us as these house managers. How do we manage the resources he's given us? How do we manage our lives? If you could hand out those little booklets now. What I'm handing you again is something that I just want to share with you. It's a booklet you can take. We have it on our website. We continually improve it. I want to improve it even more. But it's just a tool that can be used for you or someone you know, church members, to say, okay, how can I look at my purpose? How can I look at my goals, my values, and pull them in this context of stewardship? And we've got activities throughout this book because this is huge. This is, how are we taking care of the new life that God has given us as disciples of Christ? And so this is just a quick overview of some key thoughts of stewardship that I think are important, especially in this context of our conversation today. And I want to tell you a story. There was a missionary, and I forgot to copy my sheet off, so I'm going to say it by memory. But there was a missionary who was over in Papua New Guinea. His name was Otto. And when he was over there, he wanted a garden. Well, first let me tell you, he was in a tribe where one of the characteristics of the tribe was they stole. I mean, that was just what you did. And so when the people would come to visit at his house, he and his wife would notice when they left there would be things missing. And so that was part of their culture. So then Otto decided he wanted a garden. And this is a true story. So Otto decided he wanted a garden. So he started growing pineapples. Well, he loved his pineapples, but before they ripened, the townspeople would steal them. And so he was furious. And he eventually would get mad at them and be gruff. He eventually shipped in a German shepherd to try to guard his garden. Well, that further isolated these community people. But he wanted pineapples from his garden. Anyway, he came to the U.S., I think during a furlough, and he was part of a discussion where they were talking about individual rights and different things. And so he realized he had not given his garden over to God. And so he came back and he said, okay, Lord, this is your garden. And so he stopped getting angry, and the people knew he had dedicated his garden to God. Well, that's when the trouble began for the townspeople, because they had all these bad things happening. And, you know, in their mindsets, non-Christian mindsets, they go, oh, no, you know, the gods are upset with us because we're stealing, because they knew his God was now over his garden. And so they came back to him, and they started giving him pineapples back. Okay, we'll give them back to you. But what happened was even more powerful than that. When he gave up and said, Lord, everything is yours, even my garden, the townspeople said to him, Otto, you've become a Christian. Everything you've told us, now we see it. And this really struck him because he had lived with them for 7 years. But they never connected what he was preaching to them with his life. And I thought that was powerful because it took his recognizing his role as steward to say, God owns everything. And when we release it, then we get it back. And so his town people started becoming Christians because they saw Christ in him through his letting go of that. I thought that was powerful. And to me, that is a marrying of, okay, this idea of sanctification and discipleship, stewardship being two sides of this coin of sanctification is illustrated there. When we allow God to be our provider, when we assume our role as managers, powerful things can happen. People will come to the Lord. We can grow. And so I wanted to share that story, but I also want to share a biblical story. Whoops, I forgot to put my real picture in there. Okay, iStock, you know where my image came from. But this biblical story, I think, is powerful too, because what this shows us, and we'll read through it, the call of Levi Matthew. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up, and followed him. That's key in this. He rose up, he made a decision, he made a commitment. He rose up, he left all, he turned his back. We know Matthew. He was considered a betrayer. Oh, my time's out. I'm rolling, Brian. I'm getting here. And so he said, my values are going to be transformed, and I'm going to follow him. And so the next verse, this last one, then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors. Feasts aren't cheap. Banquets aren't cheap, especially in his part of the world where everybody comes. And so here, after he said, "I want to be your disciple, I want to follow you," he followed it up with gratitude. He followed it up with holding this banquet so he could introduce people to him, but was this heart full of gratitude where it cost him. And so these are the implications. Both require commitment, discipleship and stewardship. Both require a realignment of our values, whether it's our money, whether it's our time, whether it's our abilities. How are we going to spend them? It's not just money we spend. It's these other aspects. How are we going to spend them? Are we going to honor God with our resources? And both require a new object of worship. And so I want to leave you with two questions. One, can you be a fruitful disciple without being a faithful steward? And number two, can you be a faithful steward without being a fruitful disciple? Those are the questions I want to leave you with. And let's start this conversation, because I want to, not now, Brian's coming up, but I want to hear from you, because I truly believe after being part of both of these and thinking through that, we can't have one without the other. They're just integral part of what it means to be a disciple, to manage our life. Thank you.